Well, praise the Lord. We're going to ask Mrs. Kathy Lear if she will open us in prayer today.
Well, Father God, what a blessing it is to be able to gather today and spend time together in worship, in learning, in prayer. We thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would be with Pastor Lear this morning, that you give him the message that you desire to give to us, to our hearts, to apply in our lives. And we look forward to that today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, take your song sheets in hand, and we will begin by singing Psalm 108, which is number 8 on your song sheet. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to thee among the people. For thy steadfast love is great to the heavens. And thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand unto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk. From fear into security, from quicksand onto rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited, and he heard my cry. Come, Now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Just as you are to worship. Oh, come. Just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. Lord of wonder beyond our galaxy, oh, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. You know, when you think about those songs, of course, they do lead somewhere. And of course, we're singing them because we want to praise the Lord, we want to worship Him, and what a blessing it is that He will let us worship Him. And so, Psalm 92:2, the last song we've just sung, come let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. Think about that, that He allows us to come before His throne of grace, kneel down before Him. And of course, some people, they, you know, the whole issues of kneeling down, standing up, and so forth and so on. The most prominent position of praise in the face of the Lord, so to speak, is on your face before Him on the ground. You know, like when the police tell you, okay, get on the ground, face down, stretch out your arms, that kind of thing. And that He is our God and we are His people. What a blessing that is. Well, on this Grandparents' Day, that's right, for all you grandparents out there and myself and Kathy Lear, our grandparents as well, is September 9th, 2018. So happy Grandparents' Day. It's a relatively new holiday, and of course, a day where grandparents honor their grandchildren and grandchildren honor their grandparents. Wow, that's a novel approach, isn't it? I also want to mention that tomorrow, which is September the 10th, 2018, begins Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. So today we're going to be looking at scriptures in two passages of scripture. But before we do that, I've got my quips and my quotes and a few other things to bring before you. In 1949, the English apologist C.S. Lewis wrote in a letter, "God, who foresaw your tribulation, has specially armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain." Thomas Jefferson, 1802, said, "If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy." 8 hours is not a funeral, it's a telethon. And of course, as we've just passed this past week, having the funeral for Aretha Franklin and also John Sidney McCain, all of those things were politicized. And of course, the one for Aretha Franklin took 8 hours. And that's more like a telethon than it is a funeral. No country upon earth has ever had it more in its power to attain these blessings than the United America. Wondrously strange, then, and much to be regretted indeed, it would be were we to neglect the means and to depart from the road which Providence has pointed us to so plainly. I cannot believe it will ever come to pass. George Washington, 1788, and George, it has come to pass. Somebody the other day defined a Democrat as someone who promises to give you everything they do not own. To simply avoid evil is not the answer. Rather, while steering clear of something that is inherently wicked, you must do the contrary, or you will make no progress and inevitably fail. Judges, therefore, should be always men of learning and experience in the laws, of exemplary morals, great patience, calmness, coolness, and attention. Their minds should not be distracted with jarring interests. They should not be dependent upon any man or body of men. That's from John Adams, 1776. As a wise man once said to me, "Life would be lived much more correctly were it done in reverse order." Our pride in America should be what unites us. Wherever the real power in a government lies, there is a danger of oppression. James Madison, 1788. The best thing about the internet is that it connects us to so many other people. The worst thing about the internet is that it connects us to so many other people. Anything that takes us away from God takes us away from real wisdom. So the question begs us, how or why do we drift so much? 2019 looks to be the year of bellum omnium contra omnes, the war of all against all. Entertaining for sure, but how many more of these coup d'etat can the Republic sustain before a new generation says enough of all this? E.M. Bounds, "The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." And of course, when we say men, we mean people, male and female. "This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good disposition." Thomas Jefferson, 1785. "We the people, we the American people, are not each other's enemies. The enemies are those people behind the curtain jerking everybody's chain and saying, 'Divide us up by age, by race, by income.' That was said by HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson. Seven liberties you need to know. Public schools and religious freedoms. Students can pray, read their Bibles or other religious materials, and talk about their faith at school. Students can express their faith in their classwork and homework. Students can organize prayer groups and religious clubs and can announce their meetings like any other club. Students can express their faith at a school event. Students may be able to go off campus to have religious studies during school hours, depending on the state. Students can express their faith at graduation ceremonies. Teachers can organize prayer groups with other teachers. And for more information about these guidelines on religious liberties and influencing your public schools to allow for these freedoms, visit www.gogateways.org. www.gateways.org. Nations and societies decay, crumble, and are destroyed, not by corrupt governments, but by because of corrupt people. And the next story, if you will, that I'm going to share with you is quite disturbing, pretty indicative of the political correctness of today. And when people get offended, this is the teacher makes stupid joke, gets fired, but sodomites are welcome. We're not yet like Britain, where a practical joker who trained his girlfriend's dog to give the Nazi salute was charged with a hate crime and punished, but we're getting closer. Just ask Ben Frisch, a teacher formerly anyway, at Friends Seminary, a private Quaker school in Manhattan. Frisch's 34 years at his institution came to an unplanned end some months ago. The problems began when he opened his February 14th pre-calculus class and, writes the New York Times, introduced the day's lesson involving calculating angles of depression and elevation. Frisch straightened out his arm to demonstrate. He lowered it down and then raised it up. Glancing at his arm, now fully extended and pointing slightly upward, Frisch, realizing something, he had inadvertently pantomimed the Nazi salute. Frisch is a practicing Quaker, but his father was Jewish and two of his great-grandmothers were killed in Auschwitz. Mortified, he searched for some way to diffuse the awkwardness of the moment, and then he said, "Heil Hitler!" A few students gasped, others exchanged surprised looks or laughed nervously. Instantly aware of his stab at Mel Brooks-style parody hadn't landed, Frisch lowered his arm and tried to explain himself, telling students that it used to be common to make fun of Nazis. Only recently, he said, had such jokes become taboo. He resumed the lesson, and the weird moment seemed to be over. But instead, the Quaker institution quaked. A student mentioned the incident to a school official. One thing led to another as the news spread, and the school's principal, Bo Lauder, quickly suspended Frisch. Friends ultimately pressured the teacher to resign and sign a non-disclosure agreement, but Frisch refused, was fired, and is now suing for wrongful termination. Since then, Friends has not been so friendly. After the school's 279 high schoolers learned of the initial actions against Frisch, 187 students signed a petition supporting him. Principal Lauder defended his move, alluding to other equally inappropriate and troubling actions that had surfaced since the incident without providing any details about them. Former students are more forthcoming, only that Frisch is eccentric and nerdy, which probably defines half of big city's mathematicians. But unlike Lauder, the teens don't have to worry about keeping squeaky wheel left-wing parents to pay $45,000 a year tuition happy. A few threatened to withdraw their children from the school. Following the money, Note that Launder has doubled tuition during his tenure and has increased the school's endowment from $4 million to $30 million. Nonetheless, this incident reflects culture crash more than cash. It's not news that many people have become remarkably thin-skinned with the sense of humor of a Nazi librarian, forcing everyone else to increasingly walk on eggshells. In 2015, Nobel laureate scientist Tim Hunt's career was ended after he told a cute, innocent joke about women in the lab. And many comedians such as Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Larry the Cable Guy, the first two of whom certainly are no conservatives, now avoid doing college shows because humorless, politically correct students can't take a joke. What this says about our society is not good. Some friends' parents complained that the manner in which the school fired Frisch bore little resemblance to the Quaker decision-making process, writes the Times. This perhaps isn't surprising. Frisch was the last Quaker at the high school, and what reflected here is the loss of two very important virtues, charity and forgiveness. Whether or not you like Frisch's joke isn't the point. Rather, it's that we've all at times made imprudent or insensitive statements, and as it is said regarding gifts, it's the thought that counts. When someone makes a poor joke, and especially when he's contrite, good people respond by slapping him on the back and saying facetiously, "Very funny," or "A good sense of humor is necessary to be well adjusted. So keep trying." Then it's over. Yet while no one is accusing Frisch of being anti-Jewish, his scalp is still demanded. This speaks volumes about his critics. You know the stereotype of the humorless communist in a drab olive green uniform? We've become that on a societal scale, with better sartorial sense. Is this what we want to move towards? Being a place where people walk on eggs, perpetually poker-faced, lest smirking at the wrong thing be interpreted as career-killing approval. Playing the safe space game, Lauder justified Frisch's firing by saying he wants to make our students feel safe. Putting aside that, this sounds as possible as pleasing all the people all the time, as the Times actually made it. And good point here. Today, teens are already flooded with uncensored, unedited information 24 hours a day. What would a safe space even look like for a 16-year-old with an iPhone? The irony is that Frisch entered class one day and addressed, claiming to be a woman, all would be expected to accommodate him, and there wouldn't be safe spaces for those objecting. Take issue with lewd sex education and get called prude. And Lauder himself is an open homosexual, for sure, echoing what G.K. Chesterton said about Puritanism. Political correctness is the pouring of righteous indignation into the wrong things. The self-space movement claims of being offended and screams for sensitivity are merely a cover for intolerance. It's how some people slap a veneer of faux virtue on their hatred. Kind of a lengthy thing to read, but I thought we should. Okay, if you will turn in your Bibles first for a short verse. In Judges, chapter 3, verse 9. So Joshua, Judges. Go from Joshua to Judges. This is Judges 3, 9. Judges 3, 9. I'll read it to you from the English Standard Version. Judges 3, 9 says, "But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel, who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." interesting there. Of course, Caleb's younger brother. Caleb was one of those spies into the promised land that wasn't afraid, just like Joshua. Isn't it interesting that his younger brother would also be like him? Sometimes the things you'll wonder if this is passed on in your genealogy or what. Now I would like you to turn to the first chapter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. verses in that chapter. We're going to read them all. I'm going to read, I'll ask Mrs. Lear if she will read the first 15, and I will read the last 15.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 15 from the English Standard Version. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. And that was Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 15 from the English Standard Version.
And I am reading from the English Standard Version, beginning at verse 16. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. That's actually verse 15. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my very imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out to be my deliverance. For as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know this, I will remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Because of my coming to you again, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engage in the same conflict that you see I had, and now bear, and now hear that I still have. Praise God for the reading of his word. That was Philippians chapter 1, from verse 16 to verse 30. Obviously, there's a lot there, and I would like to draw as our theme for today, if you will, and what I'm sharing with you from verse 6. And of course, as we look at that, and I am sure of this, that who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so I'll use that as a shorten that up for a theme. Completed. He will complete it. There are some days, of course, all of us can be, as Christians, frustrated by the society we live in. And of course, in my quips and quotes and my current event stories reading to you, you can see that that's happening more and more all over the place. And of course, Christian persecution is very well accepted throughout the whole world. But then again, don't mention anything against a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or somebody like that. You'll get in a lot of trouble. So we're facing a situation in our country that's very unlike anything that we've faced in this country before, although it's certainly been faced in other countries. But I also want to remind you, if you ever are in a situation where you're going to be asked to pray, and of course, I hope you will have that opportunity, all of you, because it's a great opportunity. And of course, as one prayer warrior the other day sent an email out, said, okay, join us in our nationwide prayer call. But just remember this, you're not going to try to sell anything. You're not going to have a multi-level sales thing. You're not going to try to raise money for yourself or your pet project. You're just going to pray, and it's going to be a short prayer. And remember, there are other people who want to have a chance to pray as well. But if you said this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, what a great prayer that is. What a great invocation that is. What a great blessing that is to pass on. Because certainly, to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this life that the Lord has called upon us to do, we need all the grace we can get. We need all the peace from God. And of course, as you may study in John, for example, several places in the book of John, where this peace I've given you, and it's not a peace like the world gives that I give you, because the world can take that away. If it was the world giving it to you, just like, okay, we're giving you a job. Now we're taking the job away from you. Why? Because you did something, you said something we didn't like. Now you lose the job. Can you imagine, like this Mr. Frisch, 34 years working his job, and then because of silly remark or whatever, he's fired from the job, that's it. 34 years down the tubes just in seconds. That's what's happening in our country. It's happening in other parts of the world. One of the things I also want to draw your attention to in this passage of Scripture, at verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. And of course, as we're talking about Grandparents' Day, And I had this conversation with somebody yesterday about his son. I said, you know, it's important for us to teach love. But it's also equally important, according to the scriptures, particularly in the Ten Commandments and certain promises of the Lord, that we teach how to honor our parents and honor those actually, even those people that are in government and so forth and so on. Give honor to them that honor is due. A lot of times we're giving honor to those that honor is not due. I've had to have this conversation with my own children. I've had this conversation with many people. You will honor me. Not because I'm an egomaniac and, you know, not being honored by you is going to hurt me in any way, because it isn't. But the person who does not express honor rightfully when they're supposed to is hurting themselves. They're being hurt, so we warn them of that. And of course, the encouragement that we get from this passage of scripture, that the Lord himself will complete the good work. I mean, most of us have had coaches and trainers and so forth and so on. I think about all the mentors I've had in life, and I've had, I guess off the top of my head, I'd say I've had hundreds of mentors. And the thing is that I can say along the way, many of them mentored me well, but many of them really didn't love me. And of course, some of them dropped off and didn't help me complete the work I was on, or the things that I was heading towards. But the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, he will complete the good work that he's begun in you. Isn't that, that should give you a lot of hope and peace right there. To think on the days when you're feeling, you know, there are some days where you're thinking, wow, I'm really doing well. That's a dangerous place to be, of course, because we know that pride comes before a fall, and many people, and to say we don't have pride is ridiculous. We all have pride, and sometimes we have pride in the right things, and sometimes we don't. You know, like saying I'm proud of America. Well, honestly, I'm proud of the history of America in many ways. I'm proud of the foundation of America. There's an awful lot of things that's going on in America today I am not proud of, and I can't say that I am. And of course, that brings up a whole lot of issues that we don't have time for today. But I also want to draw your attention to verse 21. For me to live. Okay? Do I have your attention? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, what was the apostle sharing there as the amanuensis of the Holy Spirit? In other words, the secretary of the Holy Spirit, so to speak. He was sharing, actually, you know what? I'm really ready to go to heaven. I'd be glad to do that. And having faced, over the last year and a half, many difficult situations myself where it didn't look like I was going to live, I was ready. I said, I'm ready to go meet my Maker. I'm ready to go be with Jesus in heaven. But then I also realized that there are a lot of people that I can help. There are a lot of places that I can go and make a statement that's worth making. And because the Lord has given me a certain courage and a certain ingrained faith, maybe one of the gifts he's given me is the gift of faith, I'm going to stick around for a while. I mean, it's in the Lord's hands. Whenever he wants to take me, I'm ready to go. But just like the apostle said here, for me to die would certainly be great gain. But for me to live is Christ. And so a lot of people, the issue is it's not so hard to die. It's harder to live and live the way that the Lord wants. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy in the faith. And in verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy. O Lord, please help me that the manner of my life is worthy And of course, I remember saying to my children growing up, you have to remember whose children you are, who you belong to, and how you're living. Is this the way that, is this the way you want people to think of our family? This is the way you want them to remember you? And of course, I also meant that in, as the French say, double entendre, they had a double expression there, because I wanted them to remember they were of the Lear family, but I also wanted them to remember they're of the family of God. Does your manner of living reflect your faith in Christ and your love for Christ? Does it reflect the gospel? And of course, we know that we're being invaded in this country. So I had a discussion the other day with a pastor. We're being invaded in this country by people on coming across the northern borders, the southern borders, coming from all kind of ways. Many of our ports, they don't belong to us. We're already invaded. But the thing is, I think of it saying, you know what? In the same manner that the enemy uses to invade our homes and to invade our country and to try to break down all that is good and so forth, we invade the darkness. And I think about a quote. I'm not exactly sure who it was from, but it was attributed, I think, to Eleanor Roosevelt, who incidentally was the tallest president's wife before Michelle Obama. She said, "Don't curse the darkness, light a light." And I've thought about this, being out on the ocean many a dark night and so forth and so on, how far away you can see, just have somebody on a light on another boat, so far away you can see that. So we're going to invade the darkness. We're not going to give up. And I've said this over and over again, whether it be threats against your life or whatever else. No, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to stand up, even when others don't. And of course, this week it was announced about Colin Kaepernick and Nike and so forth. Many people have decided to drop Nike. In fact, one veteran that owns a store that had all Nike and everything, he's selling them all out. You know, he's dropped the prices down, trying to get rid of Nike. I went in to buy some clothes at a big and tall store that I buy at, and they had Nike, 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 and a lot of the stuff was very nice. And I said, Nike was built in America. Nike should be proud of America. They shouldn't be supporting the breakdown of America. So I said, you know what? I'll do without it. I'll find somewhere else. I'll get some other clothes, but I'm not going to buy this Nike stuff. Even though it was nicely made, and a lot of it was stuff that I would have liked to have. But I said, no, I'm not going to support a company that's turned its back on our country when the country had helped to establish that. Nike became, you know, something that America helped Nike. Now Nike wants to destroy America like so many others. Well, I'm not going to participate in that. And rather than be frustrated by it, just remember this. I said it in our quips and quotes, it's not so much the corrupt government. And we definitely know there's a lot of corruption in our government. No doubt about that. But it's corrupt people. And as I've said, I can change the world just like that by not being one of those corrupt people myself. And that's not going to happen on my own doing. It's my ambition. It's my hope. It's my desire. It's my prayer. But he who began a good work in me, Jesus Christ, when he saved me, began a good work in me. He will complete it. He, Jesus Christ, will complete the good work he's begun in me, and he'll complete the good work he began in you. Praise God. Let us close in prayer. God of wonders, and you are a God of wonders. And just as you have exhorted us in your scriptures today, in Philippians and also in Judges, when Israel had done wrong in your sight, continually, and they were plagued with one thing or another, when they finally called out to you, as we are calling out to you now, Lord, and as Americans all over America, Christians in America, are calling out to you, Lord, forgive us. We have transgressed. We've called sin other things. We've sinned without any restraint. We've justified sins, the Supreme Court making it look like certain sins are fine with you. Well, we know they're not. But we're crying out like Israel cried out to you. Oh Lord, send us a deliverer. And we know you will. You are the deliverer yourself, but you are sending us help from your sanctuary. Yes, just like the song says. Send us help from your sanctuary. Send us help from your sanctuary. Send us help from your sanctuary, O God. And we can say this in closing. You've sent us help from your sanctuary. You've sent us help from your sanctuary. You've sent us help from your sanctuary, O our God. And this is our prayer in Jesus Christ, the only King. Amen and amen.